Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Because they don't want me to, that's why I do it.
Presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
From the Sig Sauer Studios. On the Patriot Mobile Platinum Microphone. Here is your host, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting the enemies of freedom, Mark Walters.
Well, I beg to differ. It's probably a very two-way tie. Can we call it a two-way tie just for the sake of argument for today only? Good afternoon and welcome to Daily Defense. Mark is out somewhere recreating with Dr. John Adeen from I forget the organization he's with, but they're having a good time. He's out there having a good time. I am your guest host today. My name is Bill Frady. I run a show called Lock and Load with Bill Frady and another show called Gun Owners News Hour with Bill Frady and another show called Straight Talk with Bill Frady. So, that's the common denominator. I'm just me through all three of those. So let's talk about something. When I was growing up, well, I was grown already, but I really liked RoboCop when I was a younger man. It was too violent for most children, and yet I let mine watch it anyway. It depicts a fictional future in which Detroit is ravaged by violent crime and on the verge of social collapse, sort of like every blue city around today. Police are virtually powerless against the criminals, which are too numerous and really well armed. And Kurtwood Smith, before he was Clarence Boddicker before he was in that 70s show. And in one memorable scene, a member of Boddicker's crew rolls up on a Shell station and looks at a guy wearing glasses and says, "Give me all your money, bookworm, before I blow your brains out." And the clerk puts down his compass and turns over the cash. And after filling up his motorcycle, he approaches the clerk again and appears poised to shoot. And that's when RoboCop shows up with his, "Drop it, dead or alive, you're coming with me." I always liked that. The guy that was in that, the particular individual and the bad guy in that, he was actually in Fame. And he played a whole different kind of character there. So he had a lot of range as far as being an actor. I don't know what he does now. But it was the patheticness of the clerk who was scared beyond. He couldn't speak. He seemed really weak and helpless. And it was the feeling of utter lawlessness that the scene was pushing at you. And that was the overarching theme in RoboCop. The city's out of control. Citizens can't protect themselves. Police aren't much help. When Murphy, before he becomes RoboCop, well, he's basically blown to pieces. And he's reconstructed into a life law-enforcing cyborg. Half machine, half man. And he's going to take on Boddicker and Dick Jones and the corporate villain who heads up OCP. Now, as a young fella, that felt okay, but at the same time, it should have felt absurd to look at it, right? Cartoonish. Helpless citizens, weak police forces, always seems detached from reality. Not anymore. Recently, we heard about the Toronto police. They're facing a crime wave, and they've got new instructions to citizens. Leave your keys at the front door for criminals. Constable Marco Ricciardi heard telling citizens to prevent the possibility of being attacked in your home. Leave your key fobs at your front door. Now, once again, when I heard this, I thought this was absurd. I thought it was cartoonish. It has to be fake news. But the Toronto police confirmed it. They posted, "Police are concerned about an escalation in violence where all sorts of weapons and firearms are being used to steal vehicles, and that includes during home invasions." So, yes, crime is surging in Toronto. It's up. Car thefts are up 25% over the last year in Toronto. And many of the crimes involve crooks breaking into homes and snagging the car keys. And you can see some of the footage of this actually happening. That's, you know, we have this, you know, this security footage of this so we can sit back and go, like, wow. They kick in the doors. They're armed. So maybe you can see a certain logic to the guidelines. If you leave the keys at the door, they won't kick in the door. Duh. If they find them, that reduces the likelihood of an encounter between a homeowner and a potentially armed group of criminals. But this creates some problems. Now, we're going to play the stupid game and put aside for now that your car and everything in it is being stolen. There's also the problem of the incentive. In economics, you have incentives and disincentives, and these are the drivers of human action. And we make all kinds of decisions every day, consciously and unconsciously, based on incentive structures around you. And you don't have to be an economist with a pedigree to know that. Incentive structures work, so you have to be very careful of what you innocent people want to do. Because various incentive structures creates all sorts of consequences that you cannot anticipate. Late Charlie Munger once said that if you showed him the incentive, he'd show you the result. And though this can get sort of complicated, at their most basic level, they are rather simple. A good incentive structure rewards good behavior and punishes bad. And if you've trained a dog or raised a child, you get it. You don't give a dog a treat after he, you know, poops on the carpet. You give him a treat after he sits or does whatever it is you tell him to do. So back to Toronto. By telling the residents to leave their key fobs at the front door for criminals, they are essentially incentivizing burglary and theft. They're making it easier, not harder, to steal vehicles. And they're diminishing the time it takes to commit the crime, and that lowers the risk involved. And you don't need a PhD in economics to understand that's likely to have an obvious adverse effect, which will be an increase in car theft and home invasions anyway, which once again takes me back to RoboCop. When you watch the Toronto police video footage of criminals kicking down doors of homeowners and you combine that with police officers telling them to just give their keys to the carjackers, this looks like RoboCop and the mute gas station who's helpless against it. And this is dystopian. They're normalizing dystopia. This kind of violence. And in some ways, it is darker and more depressing than RoboCop. Now, the police in Verhoeven's film may have been ineffective, but at least they were trying to fight back. Toronto Police Station, they have a lengthy list of home invasion tips and missing conspicuously, exercising their right to self-defense. And this is strange because the home is supposed to... It's a legal concept that stretches back before the birth of Christ. Cicero asks, what is more holy than the house of each individual citizen? Here is his altar. Here is his hearth. Here are his household gods. Here are all his sacred rites. All of his religious ceremonies are preserved. That's why they call it the castle doctrine. A French historian wrote, the domicile was seen as inviolable. According to a Roman tradition, the domestic god repulsed the robber and kept off the enemy. The legal right to protect your home with defensive violence, if you have to, is a concept more than 2,000 years old in the Western tradition, and it's a legal precept you'll find not just in the United States, but in Canadian legal charters. Section 7 of Quebec's Charter of Human Rights and Freedoms states a person's home is inviolable. But not everybody sees that way, even against violent intruders. Justin Trudeau flatly stated in 2022, you can't use a gun for self-protection in Canada. It's not a right that you have, but that's not true either. They might not allow you to cite self-defense as a reason to obtain one, but you do have a right in Canada to defend yourselves and your property as long as the actions are deemed defensive and reasonable. That was tested when a 22-year-old Ontario man, Ali Mian, opened fire on a group of men who broke into his home and attacked his mom. One was killed, and Mian was charged with second-degree murder. The charge was later withdrawn, apparently after prosecutors realized the shooting was a textbook case of self-defense. The right of self-defense has a very broad appeal. And it's been defended by thinkers as diverse as Confucius and, you know, between Confucius and Malcolm X, who bluntly stated, I'm not against using violence in self-defense. So, as we look at all of this stuff, you know, unlike the citizens in RoboCop, Canadians can't count on a cybernetic policeman who's impervious to being shot to defend them from a violent actor. And worse than that, they're being discouraged from protecting themselves and their homes by a government. So hostile to individual rights and self-defense that it's advising them to simply turn their property over to their attackers. If Canada goes down that path, it's easy to see where this will go. And I've lost track of the clock. Where are we at, Greg? What are we doing here? There we are. I knew we were coming close to it. Listen, when we get back, we're going to talk about AMLO, because he's such a great guy. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
The following segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back to the show.
Armed American Radio Daily Defense. Mark is off recreating somewhere. I hope he's having a good time. We're going to get through this and get, you know, Good Friday, all that other stuff. Right now, Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador thinks that he can do no wrong because the U.S. federal courts are turning over sovereignty to the Mexican head of state at the same time that he's issuing ultimatums to the United States and thumbing his nose to Texas. U.S. District Judge Rosemary Marquez of the U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona ruled that a lawsuit brought by the Mexican government against five Arizona-based firearm retailers can proceed. They claim these firearm retailers are facilitating illegal firearm trafficking to Mexico. That's a stupid supposition. The drug cartels are not looking for semi-automatic versions of anything. They're getting, and they may be getting American weapons, but what they're doing is they're getting American military weapons, because the biggest seller of weapons out there today is America, but it's the American government that sells these. And then the cartels find a way and they steal the whole arms room. There's no evidence that this thing, these firearm retailers, is doing it. The ATF would have shut them down if there was. They're shutting everybody down as it is. They're doing their very level best. But so, of course, the gun control groups backing Mexico's claims are crowing over this development. That's on top of the $10 billion lawsuit Mexico is also bringing with the backing of U.S. gun control groups against U.S. firearm manufacturers. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit revived that case in January after a lower court dismissed the claims. And right now, AMLO is out there issuing this list of demands to the United States and telling a U.S. court in the state of Texas law to fight illegal immigration would impinge on Mexico's sovereign right to decide who enters the country. Now, Mexico, I think their GDP is like $1 trillion plus. And that's a lot of money. $1 trillion is a lot of money. Of course, ours is about $26 trillion. Mexico has a southern border as well. But one of the things they're doing is they're letting people come through their northern border, and they're threatening us to continue to do that if we don't do, you know, some stupid things. The only thing they haven't asked for us to do is strike the letter Q from the alphabet. They're running roughshod over the sovereignty here in American courts because it refuses to enforce its own gun control laws on their side of the border. And he's not just shaking down U.S. Firearm manufacturers for $10 billion, but he's demanding $20 billion in what can only be described as patronage fees to Latin American countries. He wants work visas for 10 million illegal immigrants, an end to U.S. sanctions in Venezuela, and a halt to the blockade of Cuba. Just finish it out, AMLO. Well, how about a partridge in a pear tree, pal? And this is astounding. That this little tin pot dictator, who's on his way out, is doing this, and at the same time, the weak U.S. responses and the kowtowing by U.S. courts to Mexico, of course he's going to do it, if that's the way he's going to run. He is a head of state only because he's working hand in glove with the narco-terrorist drug cartels that are the scourge of Mexico. He won't confront them. Crime just runs. He refuses to confront them. They are the ones facilitating illegal firearm trafficking. As a matter of fact, we've got some of the illegal firearms that he's discussing. They're coming into the United States and probably making their way to the various hands of the various different nationalities we have inside. Now, the DEA uncovered substantial evidence that drug cartels funded $2 million to AMLO's campaign and that it was impossible to divorce government officials from criminal cartels. Now, of course, in a moment of kabuki theater, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley is demanding answers from 16 federal law enforcement agencies over a secretive Project Thor that was designed to disrupt those known networks. It was working until the ATF pulled the plug, and at the same time, Mexico brought their claims against U.S. firearm manufacturers. The Biden administration's response to this shakedown is anemic, according to Fox News. A Biden administration official said President Lopez Obrador has a very ambitious agenda. They added that Congress would need to act to acquiesce. And the thing that we should have gotten out of that was, well, I guess then this ain't going to be going anywhere because we are not going to acquiesce. And he was equally flippant to Texas Governor Greg Abbott's law to force illegal immigrants to return to Mexico or face criminal charges. And he said the Texas governor acts that way because he wants to be the Republican vice presidential candidate and wants to win popularity with these measures. He's not going to win anything. On the contrary, he's going to lose support because there's a lot of Mexicans in Texas, a lot of migrants. Well, that obviously means that you think they hold some sway. Because I'll bet you they're not getting to vote, so it doesn't matter how many's in there. Plus, he's busting them all over the place. He's busting them to all the fine blue areas. Now, of course, the resident, he's not doing anything. President Joe Biden's administration is using a whole-of-government approach to attack the firearm industry and Second Amendment rights. His ATF has been issuing rules that carry criminal punishments, even though that's the responsibility of Congress. His Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security paused firearm exports for 90 days, but it's still going on. It went past the 90 days, and it's on at 150, and still no end in sight. He's got gun violence lobbyists in the White House, and they appear to be colluding with Chicago to bring some frivolous lawsuits against Glock. And no answer from the administration why it stopped efforts to disrupt Mexican drug cartels funneling guns south of the border. So we sit here and we're exposing ourselves to terrorist attacks. And just this week, the U.S. Border Patrol chief warned terrorists may be crossing the border after the U.S. saw the reach of the ISIS-K attacks in Moscow. And AMLO's out there scoffing at the United States. He's twisting U.S. law, trampling our sovereignty, and claiming we can't enforce our own laws because it would offend Mexico. And I'm just sitting here going, so what? So what if it upsets AMLO and Mexico? So what? They can't control their own country. Of course, neither can the Democrats here. The Democrats can't control what they start. They can't control their little... They can't control what goes on in that nation state. Cartels control way too much of this stuff. Way too much. And the fact that we're not doing anything about this is really interesting to me. We're not pushing back on this. We should be pushing back on this. We should be telling them to pound sand. You know. He wants all of those worker visas because I think the number two item on his GDP is all of the remittances that people send back to their relatives in Mexico. Which begs the question, if everybody's coming here for a better life, why are they leaving the families behind? We'll be right back. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Armed American Radio, Daily Defense. Mark's off somewhere doing something that Mark likes to do. Who can tell what it is? He's either playing his guitar or doing something while he's playing his guitar or doing something and looking at his guitar, because here lately he's been really enjoying his guitar. My name is Bill Frady. I'm filling in for him today. Lock and load with Bill Frady, Gun Owners News Hour, Straight Talk with Bill Frady. I do sort of the same thing in a different way, but we are of the same mind, Mark and I. I've been going through a little bit of a thing here lately. I've been wanting to get back out into nature, except in nature right now in a lot of places. Like, I'm out of South Carolina, and if you go up into Asheville, North Carolina, which is a beautiful place, you have these little outposts of civilization that are dropped in the wilderness that are, like, dropped here and there. So they're little dots in the wilderness. So sometimes you'll be taking out the garbage at the local, the local frozen yogurt place, and you're going to be attacked by a black bear. When you're attacked by a black bear, that bear is predatory. That bear intends to eat you. So that's a problem. That is a problem if the bear is trying to eat you. So I've been trying to say to myself, okay. So when I go into the woods, what would I want to carry? Now, the other day, I got a hold of a Ruger Super Black Hawk 44 Magnum, and I put a Hogue handall grip on it, because the single action 44 Super Black Hawk, while it's a beautiful gun, it's a heavy caliber, and that thing is going to rock back. And you're like, if you shoot a lot of Glocks like I do, and you've got your Glock knuckle, it's going to bust it. So I put that on there, and the 44 Magnum, I can handle it really well. Now the problem, there's a couple of problems with the single action revolver. Once you fire those six. Everybody needs to take five, because I got to sit here and unload this thing. And I've got to, unload each cylinder individually, then reload each cylinder individually. So it's not fast in that. But I am sending out a thumping round at a high rate, a heavy bullet. And with anything, I believe with a Kodiak bear, if you shoot the Kodiak bear in the right part of his head, the 44 Magnum will distill his desires to eat you. But, that is slow. It's slow, and it's not very practical. So I'm carrying a gun when I'm in civilization, and when I go out into the woods, I'm carrying my big gun, my big metal. So is there anything out there that I could possibly use in the same vein as a carry gun, and at the same time it would work for me in the woods? Then we had a thing happen here where I live. I've recently gotten back into buying music instead of buying digital downloads. I'm buying vinyl and I'm buying CDs, and I don't want to be one of those people that owns nothing and likes it, so I've decided to buy that. And as I was getting back into it, there was this one place called Second and Charles. They had a lot of used records there. So I'd go in there. On Saturday, I went in there and exchanged a record player for a real turntable, because I'd made a big mistake. I exchanged that. The following Tuesday, when I'm not there, a dude that is having a breakdown, he's in the middle of a lot of problems, he comes in there with an 8-inch piece of glass and does a little mass stabbing. Now, I'm a firm believer that life is a game of inches, and, if I was there 2 days before and I wasn't there when that happened, there was, that was okay. But what if I had been there? This was compounded by the fact that this guy got out there and they tried to tase him, and he shook that off and ran. And then when they corralled him, he tried to stab them. Then he tried to stab himself. And I mean, they ended up, in order to save his life, they had to beat him. They had to punch him a few times to get him to let go of the piece of glass. And they showed incredible restraint. I, as a civilian, am not constrained by what the, you know, what the police-hating, some of the police-hating public might like to say about me. My bar for self-defense is much lower. All I have to be worried about is, you know, serious bodily harm or imminent death. Somebody coming at me with 8 inches of glass? Check. Now, I carry a 9mm most days. But then I thought, what about my 10mm? And I started researching that. Now, I can shoot 10mm fairly well. I can shoot the full, you know, the Underwood, the Black Hills, all that stuff. I can shoot the really hot ammo fairly well. I can shoot it fast enough and keep it on target and have 4 pieces of brass at one time. The guy that Mark's hanging out with, John and Dean, he's a 10mm lover, too. I know, John. I know. So, I decided to start looking at that. So right now, I'm in the middle of having a few things done to that, and I may switch over to that gun, because that would be one gun that I could carry around, you know, the two-legged goblins. And when I go out into the woods, if that's something I do, then I can carry it around the four-legged goblins. Now, there's been a few people that get out there, and they'll tell me, well, you know, Bill, the 9mm ammo is nearly as good as anything you might find. It's a man stopper. It is not as good of a man stopper as a full bore 10 millimeter load, a true 10 millimeter, not the 10 millimeter light stuff, right? Not that stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that is thumping. I'm talking about the stuff that shoots a sound wave out in front of it as it goes downrange. So I don't know if that's going to be something I do. I mean, I carry either a Glock 45 in 9mm or a Glock 17 in 9mm, and sometimes either my 43 or my 19. But I carry basically the same platform, with the exception of the 43 being a little more narrow, and I'm very well versed with the way the Glock is going to behave. And I handle it fairly well. I'm pretty quick with it. I'm quick on the draw. I'm accurate with it. I'm all the things I need to be with it. Check all the boxes. But We're living in a really dangerous era right now. I was taking a questionnaire on something, and somebody said asked me if I'd ever taken bath salts. And I'd heard about that, for example, but I didn't really know it was true. I'd heard of all these crazy stories about what bath salts will do to you. And this was a sheriff's deputy, and she started telling me about a story coming out of Florida on bath salts, where a guy on bath salts crawled. He was homeless. He crawled up on another homeless guy that was asleep on the bridge beside him and started to consume him. And a off-duty cop rolls up on him and puts two in his back with his Glock 22 40 caliber. And the guy just looked up at him and growled. And they had to shoot him 7 times to stop him. We're not dealing with, we're not dealing nowadays with reefer madness. This is a whole different thing now. We got heroin, we got meth, we got crack, and we've got fentanyl. I mean, fentanyl is the craziest drug. Have you seen how people like fall asleep bent over? And then that damages their back to where they can't walk upright anymore? Looks like some weird zombie thing. Now, the reason I bring this up is because I carry a gun everywhere I go. In the state of South Carolina, if they have a sign on the door saying you can't carry a gun in here, take a trip around the back of the building and make sure they got that sign on the back door. If they don't, guess what? That's always a problem for them. They never know that for some reason, no matter how many times I mention that. Oh, Bill, don't mention that because they'll find out and then they'll put the... No, they don't. If they haven't, they're not going to. So, as I continue to explore what my concealed carry pistol is going to be, I'm looking really serious at the Glock 20. I've got a red dot being put on it. It's this may be the thing I carry, because it'll work against bears and it'll work against goblins. And that way I only have to have one. and I can still train with my Glock 9mm and not go broke using 10mm ammo. See, there's a method to my madness. Yeah. We'll be right back. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
This segment of Armed American Radio's Daily Defense is being brought to you by Daniel Defense. Visit DanielDefense.com. Now, back to the show.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I'm your guest host, Bill Frady. I just got a text from Mark. He is indeed playing his guitar. He's having a good time playing his guitar. Although, I got a question. Greg, have you ever seen the front of his house? I've never seen the front of his house. So, like, if he had bushes in front with listening to all those sponsors and everything, you would imagine he gets a delivery every now and again, wouldn't you? So we should be hanging out in the bushes and, you know, intercepting some of those, because he's probably getting more than he can handle anyway. Plus, he just wants to play his guitar. I'm just trying to help. Well, you know, we'd have to have a good cover story. Oh, hey, look what we found for you. Anyway, I wouldn't do that while he's playing his guitar. He's having, and here's my challenge for you, Mr. Walters. When I want you to learn the opening riff to Closer by Linkin Park. I think I've listened to you play. He thrashes. Mark can play. All right. The left seems very confused about the Second Amendment's purpose, because they want to disarm you to prevent gun violence, the law abiding. We're gonna get away from letting law abiding people have guns, because we got to stop crime, even though you're not committing any. But they've also added a new wrinkle now. They want to arm the illegal aliens. Just when you thought the border crisis couldn't get in any more worser. And nothing illustrates this stupid, sinister, lawless attitude than two back-to-back gun control decisions from two leftist courts and two infamously blue states, Illinois and Hawaii. Within a single month, progressive judges decided that law-abiding Americans do not have the right to freely bear arms, but non-citizens living here illegally do. And listen, all you people that live in these states that are doing this stuff, you voted for this. You voted for this. Please stop voting for this, or get out of there and come to free America, but this is a unforced error. On February 7th, the Hawaii Supreme Court ruled that an individual's right to carry a firearm is not protected under the Second Amendment. This is the spirit of aloha, I think is what they called it. A decision that undermines the authority of this, you know, you want to talk about insurrection, that's insurrection. When they got out there and said, well, the Supreme Court of the United States, those three cases you decided, they don't apply. They don't apply to us. Then on March the 8th, Obama appointed U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman ruled that the charges for unlawfully possessing a firearm against illegal alien Heriberto Carvajal Flores should be dropped. She argued the gun was for self-defense. The Chicago has seen much civil unrest. No. Let's not forget that this was due to leftist policies like bail reform. And, you know, you got Brandon Johnson out there looking at the scores of little gang members running around, burning things down, going, this is not a gang or a riot. This is a gathering of the Utes. Yeah. And now it's up to the left as they're coming up on this new election coming up. And, oh, my, what are we going to run on? What about that whole law and order thing? You going to run on that? Bad move. How are they going to square this? Not only do their policies support a massive influx of illegal immigrants. By the way, in 2018, they did a study and 64% of the federal people, the people in the federal prisons, were illegal immigrants. 64% in 2018, 2019. I can't remember which one it was. So, yes, of course, they're breaking the law just by being here. So, of course, they're breaking the law. And they're going to break other laws, too. They also want to arm them, though, into not only that we bringing them in. Just come on in, we'll fly in. You don't want to walk across, no problem. Business class, good. Okay. So now they want to arm them while in the same breath, in the same jurisdiction, on the same block, in the same zip code, they're saying no to the people that live here. How do you feel about that, America? How do you feel about that little ditty there? And you've got the Supreme Court of Hawaii for you to determine, apparently through the power of aloha spirit, that its own identically worded state constitution affords protection for only a collective right. And, Heller, McDonald, Bruin. Were those guys in the Beatles? Because it doesn't mean anything to them. Now, both situations are an insanity made possible only by progressive judges abusing their power to legislate from the bench. And this could set, well, it is setting. It is setting a very dangerous precedent moving forward. And in the past, the notion that the Bill of Rights uses phrases like person, people, or individual in place of citizen has been used to establish who is entitled to the rights in the first 10 constitutional amendments. Like in the case of Yamataya versus Fisher, which established due process for immigrants. Plyer v. Doe, which granted free public education to immigrant children, but the situation a bit different for firearms. Now, anybody, citizen or non-citizen, who breaks a law still entitled to due process, and a child who is under prosecution for a crime still has access to free education. But anyone who breaks a law can temporarily or permanently lose their rights, including the right to bear arms. That's what faces me on every day. That's what faces you every day. Illegal aliens, by definition, are criminals just by being here. They're living in the country in defiance of federal immigration law, which, by the way, the feds also defy. And while they may be subject to certain rights, firearms should not be in that category. Now, this should be very concerning for the landscape of the Second Amendment moving forward, because here's what's happening. Right now, at this particular moment, they keep removing all the processes by which we can try to find redress peacefully. Which means at some point we're going to get to the point, and I'm going to use point a lot here in this, that's the point. At some point we're going to get to the point where all of a sudden we're going to be like, what's the point? And then things get energetic and kinetic. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. They're taking away everything, all the norms that normal life in the United States, they're taking all of that away on a regular basis. So, and all of this, there is no doubt that a lot of this has simply to do with Joe Biden's poll numbers. Because he believes he got 81 million votes. He believes he got more votes than Barack Obama. And he believes he got more votes than Donald Trump. And no, you didn't, Joe. You did not get that many votes. You didn't get nearly that many votes. So bear that in mind as we go forward today. And as for me, I'll be back another day, I'm sure, because whenever Mark asks, I'm more than happy to sit with you. The name of my shows, Lock and Low with Bill Frady's, Gun Owners News Hour with Bill Frady, Straight Talk with Bill Frady. Happy Easter to everybody. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense.
Prescription for Freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.